Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 11, Number 9. In the last edition of Clinical Review, I continued reviewing my personal contest training and diet plan for the Hawaiian Natural Muscle Bodybuilding and Fitness Championships scheduled in Honolulu on June the 8th, 2013. I talked about periodization and why it's important to think about, plan, and break everything down into specific periods of time, as in weeks, months, and quarters, and of course, a complete year in advance. This allows the athlete, trainer, coach to make an accurate forecast of all the variables associated with function, performance, and adaptation, as well as and especially in the sport of biological bodybuilding, to prepare mentally for the necessary and predetermined modifications in diet. Few sports demand such meticulous and enormously challenging dietary requirements. So I try and calculate as much as possible in advance, much like how NASA calculated all the scientific variables associated with the recent landing of the Mars Science Laboratory Curiosity on Mars, August 6, 2012. And if you'd like to watch a simulation of the landing, just Google that on the internet, and I found it to be extraordinary. Just breathtaking. I mean, really, we're putting probes on Mars and we're getting ready to put a man on Mars very soon. We are living in the age of space travel, and that's very, very exciting. Now, if you do study the process of space exploration and space travel, you'll soon discover that each mission begins with specific goals and objectives before, and that's the key word, before the mission actually begins. The vision of what's possible begins first in someone's mind, then ideas, concepts, formulas, and algorithms are transferred to paper, and of course, eventually and ultimately to the computers who do all the important calculations that allows us to do the stuff that we do today. And I think that a lot of this is a paradigm of what I do and what I recommend doing when it comes to your life. Not just the contest, but your life. It's actually taking a step back and thinking about what you're doing and then calculating it and making an effort to have some control over it. In the NASA example I mentioned, the science lab Curiosity has 8 scientific objectives, all of which are explained in detail on the internet. So these people, they have objectives in advance of the mission, in advance of putting the mission together. And I think that's the point that I want to make here, is what is it that you want to do? First and foremost, you've got to have that clear in your mind. Now, landing a probe on Mars is exciting, no doubt, but so is preparing for a contest. At least for me it is, and that's all I really care about. I'm the one doing the work and competing, so it makes sense that I should be clear about what it's going to take to achieve my objective of showing up in great physical form and, above all, showing up healthy and well mentally, emotionally, and physically. Because, again, the reason I play sport is to have fun and to take the sport as an opportunity to exemplify the work that I've done, the skill training, and all of the thousands of hours of time I've put into my sport. It's an opportunity for me to project that value. Now, after all, biological bodybuilding is all about creating the ultimate man or woman, At least that's my insight. A person with extreme aesthetic beauty, united with excellent function and strong inherent resistance to disease, as well as a brilliant mind that is morally sound and guided by reason and intellectual prowess. So that's what bodybuilding and biological bodybuilding is to me. It's an opportunity to demonstrate progress. It's an opportunity to create something of value. And this is the supreme difference between biological and what I call pharmaceutical bodybuilding, and why I prefer the first, which is also the original and the only one I truly respect. Biological bodybuilding is theoretically about the philosophy of good sportsmanship, which includes courage, honor, and integrity of the mind and body. On the other hand, pharmaceutical bodybuilding is only about winning. That's it. Just the big W word, winning. Health has nothing to do with it. Those who take performance-enhancing drugs will cut, slice, and dice themselves up 100 different ways for fame and notoriety. And the ultimate question you have to ask is why? Why destroy yourself for a handshake and a trophy? It seems the need for recognition, power, and approval is so strong in certain individuals that they will do anything to achieve it, including doing themselves in. I mean, did Ben Johnson, Marion Jones, and Lance Armstrong all cheat for fun? No. They all cheated to ensure victory and to cash in their chips. But look what they all got in the end. It's always the same. Embarrassment, shame, and national disgrace. But what the press doesn't reveal or even understand is the biochemical, physiological, and structural damage that occurs to the brains and bodies of athletes who take both performance and prescription drugs. I just finished watching an excellent documentary on YouTube about HIV, AIDS, and Dr. Robert Wilner, MD, PhD, author of Deadly Deception, the proof that sex and HIV absolutely do not cause AIDS. And regarding the incredibly toxic and lethal effects of prescription medication made by Big Pharma, like AZT and various forms of chemo, as well as EPO, human growth hormone, or the countless variety of anabolic steroid drugs used by athletes. And of course, if you didn't know this, they all come out of labs. EPO, human growth hormone, all this stuff ultimately is manufactured by drug companies, the stuff that the athletes use. So they're taking drugs just like patients take prescription drugs from their doctors. And they're all as toxic as one another. All drugs, in my opinion, are essentially useless and toxic and lethal and harmful. And so we have to be very, very careful about what it is we're taking and why. But here's a great quote from that documentary from Dr. Wilner, who practiced medicine in Florida for 40 years. There is no such thing as a side effect in medicine. Prescription drugs don't cause side effects. Prescription drugs cause unwanted direct effects. Now, let me say that again. They cause unwanted direct effects. So the direct effect of using a prescription or a performance-enhancing drug is toxicity, destruction, lethality, and I guess I can't go beyond that because once you're dead, there's not much more I can do to you. So if the stuff kills you, it's got to be bad. And it is my belief, based on surmising and studying and reading all the data and listening to hundreds of experts speak on this topic, documentaries, reading books, that chemo kills cancer patients, not the cancer, and that AZT kills the AIDS patients and not the HIV. It's a huge hoax. It's a gigantic conspiracy, if you want to use that term. But what it is, it's corruption at its summit. It's like climbing up to the top of Mount Everest to see how bad it can really get. And when you look at medicine today and how it's practiced and what they do, it's as bad as it can get. So let's reiterate, a full year of athletic training and dieting mapped out in advance with the principle of periodization in mind is called a macro cycle. I then divide the year into four units of equal time, or about 3 months, each of which is called a mesocycle. Each mesocycle can be further broken down into smaller units of time, such as 10 days, 1 week, or 1 day. It depends on the sport, it depends on the athlete, and it depends on the overall amount of time and what's involved in training for the sport. So currently I'm in my second mesocycle of training, which began on August 27th. I shifted from two sets of three reps and two sets of six reps for all my major compound movements to four sets of six reps. I've got the strength, I've got the power that I wanted, and now I'm going to sustain that. I'm going to start increasing volume. I'm going to start thinking more like a bodybuilder rather than a strength and power building athlete. I also changed some of my exercises in this second mesocycle. My next or third mesocycle begins in about 3 months. Slowly, I increase my volume of training and modify the amount of weight I lift to compensate. I don't want to get injured. Remember, if you're injured, you can't train, and if you can't train, you can't make any progress. Now, during the first 9 months of my macro cycle, I consume what I call my typical year-round standard diet. 100 days out from the show is when I start to make the small, subtle changes that I will describe in detail. I like to take my time, stay on track, follow my plan, and slowly but surely achieve my goal of getting down to 4 or 5% body fat. Year-round, it's around 10%. Remember, for optimum function and disease prevention, a man should keep his body fat percentage between 10 and 15%, and a woman 15 to 20%. This is regardless of age or body type. Now, my typical standard diet is by no means typical when compared to most people on the planet. Unfortunately, refined, dead, sterile food is being eaten everywhere on the planet today because this foreign substance, most of us think is food, is incredibly addictive. It tastes good, and that's why people eat it, without thinking about the effects of that substance on their arteries and heart and vital organs and skeletal tissue. Dead refined food is the today's norm, not fresh, whole, organic food. People who never cross the line and who never eat junk food are as rare today as the critically endangered Siberian tiger. And let me tell you something, there ain't many of them left. This axis of evil, meaning the distribution of dead, toxic, harmful food to human beings, is perpetuated on the young, the innocent, and the ignorant. We get them addicted, and they grow up needing it, or at least they think they do. And it has no boundary or moral code. It's about profit and generating income. It works exactly like an infectious bacteria or virus. And do you think that a virus or a bacteria has any moral code? Does it hesitate and think, well, I don't think I'll infect that person because it's not the right thing to do? So this stuff has permeated every culture and every society in the world, provided they have roads, ship ports, or a landing strip for airplanes and any means of communication, including radio, TV, or internet. If they have any of that stuff, then they're susceptible to the infection. In fact, wherever there are people, you'll find chocolate bar wrappers, tin cans, plastic bottles, and empty boxes scattered all over the ground. And for those of us who love nature and love the world and love the purity of what is meant by a clean, ecologically sound environment, it causes us to feel sorrow in our hearts to see the garbage that humans generate without any concern for the effects on the beauty of the planet, and long-term especially. However, I don't compare my diet to what most people eat today. One of my principles is not to compare myself to the lowest common denominator. I therefore compare my diet, or what I'm supposed to eat according to science and reason, to what people ate about 3,000 years ago. That's right. The reason I don't compare my diet to the domesticated humans of the present on the planet today is very simple. In 1000 BC, there was nothing to eat anywhere except whole, fresh, organic food. Things like hunted wild game, fish, seafood, vegetables, fruit, and rational amounts of nuts and seeds, sprouted whole grains, and tubers, beans, and legumes. 3,000 years ago, that's all there was, and of course, prior to that, backwards to the beginning of time. So that is, in relative terms, millions and billions of years. So we sort of evolved from nature, we're products of nature, and what we're doing is threatening our own existence by denying science, which is intimately tied in with nature. Of course, when you study physics and biology, you realize that nature is a dictator, and like it or not, if you don't feed yourself right, you'll die before your time, and you will go down and suffer needlessly. Now, after 1000 BC, that's when the real decline of our food supply began, and it slowly developed over the centuries into a huge, widespread disease of greed and corruption. So the food itself causes disease, but those who make it, those who intentionally produce harmful stuff and sell it to humans, have disease in their brain. They lack morality. In fact, they're psychopaths. Because a psychopath has absolutely no concern other than the joy they experience by watching people suffer and the money they make in the process of that exercise. Now, up until that time, up until 1000 BC, there was no white flour, there was no white sugar, there was no industry to produce it, which is why. So technology can be useful, of course. I love my internet, and I love flying in airplanes, but we have to use them responsibly. We have to use them judiciously. We have to think about what it is we're doing, and of course, using clean energy would resolve a lot of our problems. Now, going back in time, there were no food factories, no feedlots, no monoculture, no pesticides, no fast food joints, and none of the diseases so prevalent today that are specifically and absolutely caused primarily by consuming the kind of diet that people are consuming today. It's chemically enhanced, sterile food. It's reinforced with obesogens, chemicals that make people fat and destroy their brains. And I call it unclean food. So back to Leviticus, the Old Testament, do not consume unclean food. And I accept that wholeheartedly. But I use science rather than belief in the supernatural to guide me. I just look at the evidence, and it's quite clear. So what is my typical diet, the typical diet that I eat year-round? Well, let's go through that now, because before I get into the 100 days out, the special diet that I have put together and performed and found to be very, very useful for dieting down and feeling good through the process, let's first of all look at my typical diet, and then we'll go into the 100 days out from the event day, and then you'll understand what it is I'm doing and why more clearly. So typically what I do is, upon rising, the first thing I do is have a glass of filtered clean water, 250 to 500 mils, and it is filtered and it is cold, and that makes me feel really good. I also have usually a glass of water before I go to bed at night. Of course, I'm drinking water throughout the day, 30 milliliters per kilogram of my body mass. Now, after I have the water, I will then make freshly squeezed juice. Lately, I've been making a combo of lime and lemon and grapefruit and orange, all mixed together, freshly squeezed. That comes out, and I add a big heaping tablespoon of calcium ascorbate, vitamin C powder, and then Tracy and I split that, so we get our really a good solid whack of vitamin C, about 5 grams each. And of course, with that, I also take some supplements. I take 2 grams of tyrosine, to enhance my mind. This is kind of like a memory and intelligence program. I mix the tyrosine with ginkgo biloba. It's got those flavonoids and ginkgolides that protect the peripheral nervous system and circulation. I also take vitamin E and about 500 milligrams of acetyl L-carnitine, which passes through the blood-brain barrier. So this I do to activate the recesses of my mind, to stimulate my brain and protect my brain. Now, I then go upstairs and do my bathroom thing. I do my dry brush massage and all the stuff that I do in the washroom, and then come down and make a shake. And my shake is in water. I add a scoop of whey protein isolate, 25 grams, a scoop of hemp protein concentrate, 25 grams, a couple tablespoons of hemp seed oil. Then I add spirulina or chlorella powder, glutamine, D-ribose, I add honey, and then I add my fruits, which is usually a mix of fresh papaya that I chop up and cut myself, frozen bananas, and some frozen berries. Those are my carbohydrate sources. And that is my pre-workout shake. Now, I also take my supplements, shake and take at that time. So I take a vitamin complex, which is just vitamins, a mineral complex, which is just minerals in capsules. I take glucosamine, shark cartilage, chondroitin, MSM, some Panax ginseng. Remember, I'm setting myself up for the gym now. My mental clarity is important, my energy. I take some grapeseed extract, some coenzyme Q10, some alpha-lipoic acid, and a couple of grams of HMB. So I've got some adaptogens. I've got some antioxidants. I've got some amino acids on my brain. I'm feeling light. I'm feeling good. And then after that, I have a couple of cups of strong, really, really strong black coffee. We call it cowboy coffee. Most people can't stand it. It's the equivalent of maybe, four cups of coffee in one. It's very, very strong. We drink it black without any sweetener. And that is going to jack up the epinephrine. It's going to set my adrenals in motion, and that's perfect because now I'm heading out the door and I'm going to walk to the gym. It's about a 20-minute walk where I am, and I'm using my audio tutorial books at that time. I'm listening to a tutorial, and I'm thinking about what I'm doing and focused. Okay, so I get to the gym, and of course, I'm following my 5 Steps to Health workout program, training 5 days a week, one body part per workout. 5 steps means that each workout has 5 phases, the warm-up, the resistance training, the core training, the cardio, and the stretch. And of course, the other 5 of the 5 steps relate to 5 days a week and 5 principles to live by and 5 meals a day and 5 supplements to take. Okay? Now, in the gym, I'm also drinking 1 to 2 liters of clean filtered water, and I also add an electrolyte mix with vitamin C added. Okay, so I've got electrolytes to compensate for the loss of the elements that come out of my sweat, and that's very important because clear filtered water is electrolyte free. There's no ions in it, and if you train and sweat as I do in the gym, and on a regular daily basis, because I do other things that liberate sweat and heat up my body, and that's one of the keys to staying lean and raising your metabolic rate, is I want to compensate and make sure that I've got those electrolytes, which are very important to electrically charge the chi in my body. Okay, so that's the workout. And, of course, during the workout, as part of the warm-up, I'm also reading a book. I'm reading something inspirational, something that helps me philosophically, or is a self-help book that teaches me something about health and fitness science. And you can get to my Chi TV YouTube program channel here to look at the exercise routines that I have. And, of course, I've got an audio book called 5 Steps to Health that you can also get online and purchase, and that will give you more insight on the 5 Steps to Health program. Okay, so walk back home, 20 minutes, again, tutorial, music, listening to something of value. Right now, I'm listening to some William James. I subscribe to audiobooks on audible.com. There's 150,000 choices, and you can just punch in your author. And I like the great authors who wrote the great books in philosophy and psychology and psychiatry, and I've got a whole stack. I've got about 50 different authors that I want to read through, and I just enjoy it so much. It's so empowering, and I think that that's one of the keys to staying well, is to stay empowered. Now, my post-workout shake has more carbs in it than my pre-workout shake, but it's essentially the same. I also add some creatine to it that I don't put in my pre-workout shake. Remember that the best time to take creatine monohydrate, by the way, is post-workout when the demand for replacement is high, and that's based on research. But again, water, 50 grams of protein from hemp and whey protein isolate, hemp seed oil, lots of oils. I find that the oils, the omega-3 rich oils, increase your ability to withstand the stress of the sun and not get burnt. I didn't get burnt at all this entire summer, and I find that being here in Vernon with the heat and the sun normally in the past would have done that. So I find that the years and years of consuming these whole foods and rich oils, omega-3 dominated, are just fantastic. So I take my supplements again, vitamin and mineral complex, more glucosamine, got to protect those joints, the knees, the shoulders, the ankles. As we age, we make less of the enzyme that converts the sugar, glucose, combining with glutamine. That connection and that conversion is limited by the enzymes that I produce less of. So another bit of science to consider there, the people who say they don't need to take vitamins and supplements simply don't understand the effects of aging on their body. Grapeseed extract, alpha-lipoic acid, HMB. Now I'll wait a while and I'll have a meal. I'll have a bowl of oatmeal, some type of carbs, no water in the oatmeal, no milk or cream, grated apple, black currants. Actually, Tracy and I just completed her recipe today on He Said, She Said, and she goes into detail about the oatmeal. So that's just an example of how you can replete the carbohydrate. You could have yams. You could have potatoes with the skins. But what you want to do is replete the carbohydrates, and that's generally what I do with my shake. I could have a chunk of manna bread also. Between meals, I usually have a cup of herbal tea. Now, my next meal, which would be lunch, I would have a portion of protein, 100 or 200 grams of sardines, mackerel, turkey breast, bison, lamb, something like that. A nourishing, clean, wild game is always preferable, but a clean, lean source of high-quality protein, not overcooked. I combine that with raw vegetables. The seven I choose are things like carrots and broccoli, cucumber, mushrooms, radishes, cauliflower, celery, different colors, different flavonoids, different antioxidants. Team players to protect the cells from damage. I make my own dip, Tracy's everyday salad dressing, which is extra virgin olive oil, freshly squeezed lemon juice, Dijon mustard, and 1 to 2 bulbs of raw grated garlic. I take that whole bulb of garlic and I grate it into a cheese grater, and then that comes out the other side. I scrape that up and I stick it into my mix and then shake it up. It's like homeopathy. I succuss it. I shake it up and I put myself and my mind into that, and then I put that into my body. So that is a very common lunch I have, colored vegetables raw, high water volume, and with a lean protein and a nice dip. Then I have another cup of herbal tea. I have different herbs. Rose hips is one of my favorites. And, of course, you can walk down the aisle in any grocery store and find a whole great selection of celestial teas and herbal teas. You can go to a herb shop, make your own. But that's a great way to hydrate yourself and also build up your adrenals and your immune system is with the herbs from nature. Then I have a mid-afternoon protein shake. Shake and take again. I usually just add the protein in a shaker cup. I don't blend it. I just add a couple tablespoons of hemp seed oil and the protein in water, and I shake that up. I might add some glutamine, and I just shake that up very, very quickly and pop that down. I'll take a vitamin and mineral complex with that. Sometimes right in the gym before I leave, actually I have been doing this lately, is that I bring a shaker cup that's already got a scoop of whey isolate and hemp and some creatine and some glutamine, and that's, I just add the water from the water dispenser at the gym and shake that up right there in the gym and just down the hatch. So that keeps the nitrogen topped up. Remember, you've got to have a positive nitrogen balance in order to gain and sustain muscle. And it stabilizes my blood sugar. And of course, after training, that athletic window is wide open, and that is the best time to deliver the goods, to bring in the very best that you can think of. Moving on now to dinner. This is a large green salad, organic greens. Sometimes I just put organic greens with some balsamic vinegar and extra virgin olive, a little bit of herbs on top. I might add some onions. We make a whole variety of different types of salads, coleslaws and Greek salads, and they're all clean, all natural dressings. A protein would be like bison or top round or halibut or salmon or turkey breast, something like that. And then we usually have a steamed kale or mustard greens or broccoli. That's ideal to bring in more greens, more chlorophyll, more bitters. The things that we hate are usually the things that the parasites in us hate. The things that we love are usually the things that the parasites feed on and sustain themselves with. So we want to drive out the bad and bring in the good, and that will lead to optimum function and better health. Now, I sometimes and often will have brown or wild rice or yams or a lentil dish, something like that, starchy carbs, with my dinner. And that is, again, based on the CHI Prime Directive, supply your biological demand. Now, when you're training and you're moving and walking and active, you need more fuel. If you're not, you need less. The problem people make, or the mistake they make, is that they are inactive and they keep eating like they're a marathon runner. And, of course, they're eating the wrong kind of food, the kind of food that is very destructive. An evening walk I usually take, it's about 20 minutes in length. Lately, I'll walk down and meet Tracy, who also walks home after teaching dancing for 4 to 6 to 8 hours. We're walkers, and I believe that adults should walk as a way of life. It's what keeps our ligaments, our connective tissue, and our circulatory system healthy. It's also very good for the mind and for the brain and for the health of your spiritual life. Just simply walking so that you can look around you and take in nature, take in human beings, and look at people doing what they do, and just think about what it is you're doing in your life instead of just rotting your mind in front of a TV, which, again, is not all bad, but if that's all you do and you never move, ever, you're going to suffer as a consequence. Tracy and I always have an evening protein shake. We make it chocolatey, fries, or a similar type product of the pure cocoa, the cacao, the unsweetened powder, which is incredibly bitter and by itself does not taste very good. So we use a chocolate protein powder. We use whey isolate and the hemp. We use the hemp seed oil, and we usually use a low glycemic fruit like a pear or a peach or cherries or a green apple. And that prevents the elevation of glucose and the insulin response as a consequence at nighttime. That's not what you want to do. You want a low glycemic feed at your evening meal. And again, if you walk after your evening meal, that has a thermogenic effect, and so that prevents any trouble. But if you have a shake at nighttime, we're also going to take supplements. Again, shake and take, vitamin complex, mineral complex, some probiotics now, some melatonin later on, and a calcium magnesium load to help us sleep, to help us relax, to calm down our nervous system, which has been activated, stimulated, and now needs to relax. Sometimes I'll have a snack. Tracy makes a whole variety of different snacks. They're all very clean. They're sugar-free. There's no white flour, nothing like that. It's all clean. And I've talked in detail about how you can take something whole and real and convert it into something similar. And as long as you stay true to the form, you won't get in trouble. It's a consciousness, this idea of eating whole and well, clean food. It's got to be in your mind in order for you to actually put that into reality. A person is what he thinks about. So if you're eating junk, you're thinking junk. If you think that junk food is horrible, if you think it's toxic and lethal and damaging, you won't eat it. So that's what you have to learn through your own scientific investigation. You have to come to terms with that and get through the maze of conspiracy, get through the maze of corruption, and get through the maze of misdirection, like a magician who will misdirect you and then change the order of the cards and make it seem like it was a magical event. In fact, what he did was he just changed the direction of your attention, and that is what the media, the public school system, and the medicine system does. They all change our direction of thought and actually convince us that what it is that they have to offer at our own expense and suffering is valid, and it's not. It's completely invalid, and it's the wrong way to go. So what I have done now essentially is run out of time, and I'm not going to have time now to go into detail on my 100-day out diet, which is okay. Because essentially what I'm going to do now is finish off here, and then the next time we meet, which will be in October, I will go right into my 100 days out diet in detail. But now you can refer to my typical standard scenario, get an idea of the fact that I consume food throughout the day in regular patterns. I never let my blood sugar drop too low or get too high. It's based around being physically active. I'm thinking wellness. I'm thinking health. I'm thinking about how fortunate I am to have access to nature and clean food, and how important it is for me to use my intellect and mind to make the right decisions, to learn about my genes, all 25,000 of them, which are very unique. And they project the light, which is my consciousness, which is my being and personality and source of self-awareness. That's from my genes, what Oxford biologist Richard Dawkins calls the policymakers. And my brain are the executives which fulfill the orders from the policymakers, and of course my body is my survival machine. It's designed to protect my genes and keep them alive so that I can procreate and keep myself alive and keep the human species moving forward. So that's what it's all about. It's about surviving and thriving, feeling good, pursuing happiness, staying well. And if you are an athlete, if you are engaged in any athletic event, understand the connection between training and nutrition. They're both absolutely critical to understand. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Reverend James J. Ellis, author of Abraham Lincoln, published in 1894, a book, by the way, that I'm currently reading in the gym during my warm-up on the recumbent life cycle. The use of learning is to develop the powers within us and to enable us to make the best of the possibilities, privileges, and even of the difficulties of our daily lot.